It's a beautiful thing to see this cathedral filled. So grateful to God for this moment. Bishop Cousins, brother priests and deacons, dear seminarians, it's great to have the entire student body of the college here. Brothers and sisters, but especially you, dear women religious, to whom I address my words in particular. This day of symposium takes place on a Saturday that gives us the special opportunity to honor and invoke our Blessed Mother. Indeed, the calendar of the Church gives us the possibility today to choose the mystery that we wish to celebrate through a votive mass of our choice. And in this context, I have proposed the Mass of Holy Mary, Queen and Mother of Mercy. Our Blessed Mother has certainly been close to you during these months of the year of consecrated life. And surely, she will be your inspiration for the forthcoming Holy Year of Mercy. In the memory of the Church, we recall how St. John Paul II, during the Holy Year of the Redemption that was opened in 1983, insisted on the relevance of that celebration for the religious of the Church. In the same way, the forthcoming Year of Mercy will mean so much to you and give you so many opportunities to proclaim and live together with Mary the mystery of divine mercy. This morning, our votive Mass already initiates us into this celebration. We venerate Mary as the one who received divine mercy in its fullness and fulfills the great role of mediatrix of divine mercy in the Church. We know how important divine mercy has been in the pontificate of Pope Francis, how he consistently proposes it to the people of God. We remember also the many efforts of Pope Benedict to show the beauty and importance of this aspect of divine revelation, divine mercy, and how God's justice in itself includes his mercy. This was something that Pope Benedict explained so beautifully. And of course, we can never forget the extraordinary emphasis of St. John Paul II on divine mercy during all the years of his pontificate. The inspiration for his encyclical, Dives in Misericordia, on divine mercy, this inspiration we have right before us this morning in our reading, our first reading from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Once again, we have been privileged to hear the apostolic presentation made in these words, what we just proclaimed: God, who is rich in mercy, because of the great love he had for us, brought us to life with Christ, raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavens in Christ Jesus. We see immediately that this magnificent theme of divine mercy is a beautiful example of the continuity of apostolic preaching. What Jesus himself revealed was launched again by the Apostle Paul and has been faithfully proposed by the Church and her chief shepherds over all the ages. In the 26 and a half years of his Petrine service to the Church, St. John Paul II had so many opportunities to proclaim divine mercy. He beautifully described divine mercy to us as God's love, but as God's love in the presence of our needs, our frailty, our weaknesses, and our sins. Divine mercy is then God's love as it envelops the whole human condition. This is the magnificent treasure of divine mercy. The votive mass that we are celebrating this morning honors Mary in the context of God's mercy. The church proclaims Mary so beautifully as mother and queen of mercy. Mary has indeed a special relationship to mercy. The incarnate Word, Jesus Christ, who is the full expression of the Father's mercy, is her Son. Mercy is revealed to the world by Jesus, but Jesus comes to us only through Mary. Mary is then the mother of the Savior, and she is the gracious queen who dispenses mercy by first giving to the world the incarnate Word. At the same time, Mary is the first of the redeemed, the first one to receive the fullness of mercy found in her Son, Jesus. In our gospel this morning, Mary herself announces the mystery of divine mercy. Her great proclamation, we heard it, is, "My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, my Savior." In these words, Mary acknowledges that she needed redemption, just as all the other sons and daughters of Adam needed redemption. Redemption for Mary, as for everyone else, could only come through the redeeming death of Jesus. This is important. Jesus died on Calvary, first of all, for his mother. And yet this redemption was transmitted to Mary in a very special way. The power of the death of Jesus was applied to Mary's soul, not to take away sin, but precisely to preserve her from sin. To preserve her from sin. And this great gift of God was given to Mary before Christ's death, but in anticipation of Christ's death. Mary was redeemed by the blood of Jesus. It was poured out on the cross by the blood of Jesus, whose power was applied to her soul at the moment of her Immaculate Conception. From that moment, she was forever preserved from all sin. And thus Mary can so beautifully and humbly exclaim, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." Words of Mary, "God, my Savior." Mary is truly the first of the redeemed. Jesus, Son of Mary and Savior of the world, died above all to save his mother from sin, to preserve her from all sin, original and actual, and to constitute her forever as the Immaculate One. And Mary herself at Lourdes tells us, "I am the Immaculate Conception." And all of this means that she, above all others, received the fullness of divine mercy. In this context, then, how beautiful are all Mary's other words of her Magnificat. She says, "For he has looked with favor on his lowly servant. From this day all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. For he has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever. Mary, as mother of the incarnate Word and mother of mercy, stands out, therefore, in the history of salvation as the favored recipient of God's mercy. But as the one whom we greet in prayer with the words, "Hail, Holy Queen," she also exercises her role as mediatrix of grace and mercy. Through Mary, we receive Jesus, the fruit of her womb, our Redeemer, her Redeemer, and the Redeemer of the whole human race. The final aspect of the mercy that Mary received in such fullness and that she dispenses with such love is highlighted in the prayer over the offering in this votive Mass today. We pray in these words, "Lord, grant that as we look up to the Blessed Virgin, Mother of Mercy, we may show ourselves merciful to others." This is the challenge. Fortify then, dear sisters, dear friends, by the mercy that you have received, you are prepared to continue the celebration of this year of consecrated life and to embark on the course Jesus and his church expects of you in this holy year of mercy. As religious, then, you have every reason to hope that your contribution of mercy will contribute greatly to wake up the world. And this is what you are called to do in the name of Jesus. Amen.